God's word in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 says, "For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control." God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. You can learn that scripture today. You want to say it with me? For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. Do you believe that? If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have truly received Christ, then you are born again in the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit does not bring fear, but the Spirit of God brings power, supernatural power, divinely given power for good things, and love and self-control. So whenever we are affronted and confronted by fear, is that coming from God? No. Is that coming from God's Spirit within us? Does that have anything to do with Jesus Christ? No. That comes from our flesh, our sin, and from the schemes of the deceiver. Instead, we are called as children born again to the living God to grow in the power which He has put within us and raises us up, sanctifies us, justifies us, and calls us to glorification that we might glorify Him. His Spirit within us, which brings power and love and self-control. We consider that as we continue today in this early July sermon series on Revolutionary Presbyterians' Declarations of Independence. Revolutionary Presbyterians and their declarations of independence. Last week, to begin this series, we looked to certainly the most famous of the Revolutionary Presbyterians who was directly involved, in fact, in the very adoption of the Declaration of Independence, John Witherspoon, that great Presbyterian pastor. The only, I ask you these questions, you should know the answer to this by now. Who was the one clergyman who signed the Declaration of Independence? The one clergyman who signed. Who was the one college president who signed the Declaration of Independence? Who was the one man, signer of the Declaration of Independence, who said, "Wonderful for earthly freedom, but the most important freedom of all to which we should give thanks to God is the freedom that we can have eternally in Jesus Christ." Who of all the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, who was the one who said that, who was the only clergyman signing the Declaration of Independence, the only clergyman to put his neck on the line for our freedom, the only college president also? One man. The answer is John Witherspoon, Presbyterian pastor and president of that Presbyterian-based college in Princeton, New Jersey, we now call Princeton University. Well, today we're going to continue with this series. And we know that John Witherspoon certainly didn't act out of fear, did he? He acted out of power and love and self-control coming by the Holy Spirit. Today, I want to begin, because we're going to be turning to a preacher you may not know quite as well. If I were to ask you to name two or three of the greatest and most impactful American-born preachers that God has sent into American history. If I were to ask you to name, what are two, three, the greatest and most impactful American preachers of all time? I'm going to guess some of you would start thinking immediately back to your own lifetime, because that's the way we're kind of biased and inclined, right? Hey, it would be great to have mentioned such a godly man and preacher and evangelist such as Billy Graham, who just died earlier this year. You know, I included things from Billy's ministry and from his sermons and from his powerful ministry for civil rights in the state of Mississippi, for instance, in the 53 Crusade in Jackson. In some sermons I preached back in March, and that's a good thing. But I'm guessing if I said, okay, Billy Graham, that's fine if you want to name Billy Graham, or maybe you'd name somebody else. Give me a couple more. I'm going to guess a lot of you would think of, well, whom have I heard preach? Either in person or on the radio or on the internet or on TV. And you start thinking back, maybe some of you who are a little more schooled in the idea that God actually didn't just start working in the last 20 or 30 years, but actually has been at work for many centuries and has been involved in the history of this land for longer than the last 20 or 30 years. But some of you who know a little bit of Christian history might go back and maybe mention somebody from the 19th century, perhaps. Maybe a couple of you would go all the way back to someone like Jonathan Edwards, great Congregationalist preacher and theologian, perhaps in some people's opinion, the greatest of the American theologians, all the way back from the mid-18th century. But I'm going to guess that very few of you, other than those of you who go ahead and actually look at the bulletin and read those emails I send out so that you actually start to prepare spiritually for Lord's Day worship before Lord's Day, only a couple of you who do that kind of thing would probably pull up the name Samuel Davies. What if I were to ask you to name five or six women who were most instrumental among all women in impacting the entire direction of American history? I'm going to guess some of you might mention some famous people like maybe, I don't know, Susan B. Anthony or Harriet Beecher Stowe or Harriet Tubman. Probably a lot of us would be inclined to mention somebody from the last 10 or 20 years, you know, women who are currently involved in maybe politics or something else. But I'm going to guess very few, if any of you, would mention women from before the time of the American Revolution. Again, unless you're inclined actually to do what we ask you to do, which is read those emails and look at the bulletin and actually begin to spiritually prepare. Maybe only then would one or two of you pull up the name Sarah Henry. By the way, I'll also throw in Martha Davies. Well, today, as we turn to our scripture from the Apostle Paul's opening address in 2 Timothy, I invite you to listen to the apostle as he famously refers to not only his own influence upon and relationship with that preacher and pastor of Ephesus, Timothy, but also further, Paul commends the formative influence of Timothy's mother, Eunice, and his grandmother, Lois, and of their strong faith, laying the foundation for Timothy being one of the more important leaders of the church in the first century. Among other essential dimensions that this scripture reminds us, it reminds us how important and impactful parents can be. Not only on the lives and hearts and souls of their own children, but potentially for God's greater mission and the entire course of human history. You know that, mothers? Do you know that, fathers? It's not just about, well, I hope my child knows Jesus. Now, that's the central thing. But it goes even beyond that. Because if your child actually knows Jesus, if your child actually is born again in Jesus Christ, then he or she will be filled with a spirit. Come on, you know the answer to this, right? Not of fear, but of power. Power even to change the world. through God's grace, and of love, love that prevails in the face of hatred and darkness, no matter what, and of self-control, of focus to the higher purposes of serving God. You might have a child like that who actually brings many to Christ and changes the course of world history. Now, that's assuming that you yourself know the Lord. And if you know the Lord, then you also know that He's everything. And you want your child to know Him too. Because you yourself, mother or dad, are filled with that same spirit. And that spirit is what? Not a spirit of fearfulness, the way so many parents are so fearful all the time, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-control. A spirit that has been manifest to us through certainly Randall and Jean Ann Foxworth, who have children serving in mission throughout the world right now. So let's turn to this scripture. So I want you to think about Samuel Davies, great Presbyterian pastor I'm going to tell you a little bit more about Samuel's mother, Martha Davies, that woman who converted to know Jesus Christ and therefore became, as part of her story, a Presbyterian from the Baptist background from which she came. Sarah Henry, who came to know the Lord as a personal Savior during the Great Awakening and therefore converted from the Anglican, or for our purposes, Episcopal faith from which she came, to become a vibrant and really fiery Presbyterian, and her son, whom she took to all those Presbyterian worship services as he grew up, a boy who was actually baptized an Anglican, stayed an Anglican for purposes of satisfying his father, but was raised under Presbyterian preaching, a young man by the name of Patrick Henry. Let's turn to our scripture today, which is from 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm also going to turn over briefly to the book of Revelation, to Revelation chapter 3, verse 16, simply because this is one of Samuel Davies' favorite verses of scripture and one on which he preached so powerfully his warning to Christians not to turn lukewarm in their faith, not to just go through the motions, come to church and not do anything for the Lord. I invite you to turn with me and let's hear God's word. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And then over to the revelation of Jesus Christ to John. The Lord himself says to the angel or messenger of the church of Laodicea, not a good message. Let's pick it up. Chapter 3, verse 16. So, because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Friends, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Amen. The Reverend Samuel Davies, who was he? Not as well known as John Witherspoon. I found out most of y'all didn't know who John Witherspoon was a week ago, but not as famous, not actually there signing the Declaration of Independence. He died before that. Reverend Samuel Davies, he lived 37 years. And one message I want to remind you of, that I'm reminding you of throughout this series, is that God gives us providential moments. And sometimes those providential moments, those kairos moments, are fleeting. We need to seize by the strength and power of the Holy Spirit those moments that God gives to us to make a difference, to stand up for the faith, and even to fight for freedom in the name of Jesus Christ. Samuel Davies teaches us this because, with the kind of impact I'm going to briefly outline to you in the next couple minutes, Samuel Davies only lived 37 years. 37 years. And he has the kind of impact I'm going to talk about. But of course, that reminds me of somebody else who only lived 33 years and had monumental impact on human history and eternal impact forever in God's grace, our Lord Jesus Christ. The great Bible expositor and preacher, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, I'm going to guess some of you know who that is, considered by many to be one of the handful of finest preachers in the English language in the 20th century. Martin Lloyd-Jones was pastor of Westminster Chapel in London for 29 years until his retirement in 1968. Martin Lloyd-Jones, great evangelical preacher, hailed by American evangelicals throughout the 20th century, was convinced that we Americans did not even know that the most eloquent preacher, according to Martin Lloyd-Jones, that this continent ever produced had been among us in the mid-18th century, the Reverend Samuel Davies. Yes, that's right. Martin Lloyd-Jones in the 20th century, having studied all the sermons and all the great preachers throughout American history, said, there's no question about it, Samuel Davies was your greatest preacher, Americans, and many of you don't even know who he is. Who was Samuel Davies? Samuel Davies was God's apostle to colonial Virginia, to free and to slave alike. He led hundreds of slaves, not only to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but instituted literacy for slaves in all the areas where he preached in Virginia. He was a Presbyterian pastor, a fiery Presbyterian pastor. He was a dissenter to the crown-sponsored church, the Church of England, which again, for our purposes now, would be the Episcopal-related church. He was a fiery, new light, new side Presbyterian, which meant he was Presbyterian, he was reformed in his theology, ultimately trusting in God's providence and God's sovereignty alone, but calling people to personal, born-again, faith-based experiences as a Presbyterian. That's the new side, new light part of what he was as a Presbyterian. He was the apostle to Virginia from 1748 to 1759. You got to remember this. From the founding of the Virginia colony, for example, in 1607 until the American Revolution 170 years later, there was only one officially recognized religion or church in Virginia. And that was the Church of England. It was the established church. The colonial government built the church buildings, paid the clergy, and taxed the citizens accordingly. Now, when you turn to the American Constitution, you know, the freedom from the establishment of religion coming from Jefferson, Madison, etc., they're not talking about some concept that there would never be prayer in public gatherings or prayer or matters of faith expressed openly with respect to government. What they're talking about is this kind of establishment, the establishment of a particular sect or denomination or church. So the government of Virginia established and taxed everybody to establish the Church of England, the Anglican Church. But there were dissenters. And wouldn't you know, the ringleaders of those dissenters were those kind of people we call Presbyterian. You ever heard of Presbyterian before? Presbyterians are troublemakers. They do not live in a spirit of fear, but they live in a spirit of power and love and self-control that comes from God. And sure enough, during the Great Awakening that began in the late 1730s and spread like wildfire in the 1740s, some of these folks who came to know the Lord Jesus personally got out of the established church and became Presbyterians. And there are other Presbyterians that were moving. Those troublemakers were moving to the nice, upstanding, plantation-dominated colony of Virginia and changing things. And in the midst of that, in the midst of special toleration acts that allowed meeting houses — we didn't get to have church buildings in those days, they were called meeting houses — allowed to have meeting houses, Presbyterian meeting houses, called down to, as a great young preacher, to be the main preacher for the Presbyterians in Virginia, was Samuel Davies. As I mentioned, he was a fiery evangelist. He led many to Jesus Christ and also led many slaves, as well as free, to Jesus Christ. But let me tell you, there's a story behind Samuel Davies. He was born in Delaware to Welsh Baptist parents. But his mother came to know the Lord personally and was literate and read the Bible. And as she read the Bible, she was drawn to, by the grace of God, Reformed and Calvinist faith. And so Davies' mother, Martha, became a Presbyterian back in the 1730s. And so although Samuel's initial education was at the Baptist school that she could send him to, she moved him over to Presbyterian schools when he was still an older boy. He started going to school among the Presbyterians, started going to church among the Presbyterians in the 1730s. Eventually, when he was a teenager, he came to understand justification by faith alone through Jesus Christ, to accept that, to receive that good news, and to receive Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And Samuel Davies, as a teenager, ended up going over and studied at the great Presbyterian school that was over in Pennsylvania. So, in other words, a mom's conversion and commitment to serious faith and her willingness to change from the background from which she came to become a Presbyterian. Hear this? Martha Davies, one mom's decision leads to Samuel Davies, who some consider to be the greatest Presbyterian preacher in the history of all of America. Now, Davies goes on to be ordained as a Presbyterian pastor, serving up in Pennsylvania. But then, as I said, they wanted him, they needed him, they called him when he was still a young man in his 20s to come down and be the great evangelist for the Presbyterian Great Awakening in Virginia in the late 1740s. Now, let me tell you about another mom. So there's another mom named Sarah Henry, Sarah Sims Henry. She'd been married before. Her first husband had died. He was the wealthy one. She married John Henry. John Henry had been educated, by the way, at university in Edinburgh. But he was a good English-related, British Empire-related guy, and so he was in the established church. He was Anglican. He baptized his son, Patrick, as an Anglican. Patrick stayed an Anglican, except this footnote, and it's a big footnote, from the time Patrick was a young boy all the way through his teenage years, his mom, having converted to Presbyterianism, having become a daughter of the king under the Great Awakening, she took Patrick week after week, Lord's Day after Lord's Day, in the 1750s to hear a preacher whose name was what? Samuel Davies. And not only that, it wasn't like, well, I took you to church, I guess I did my duty. Mom's dad, listen to this. She talked all the way back, because they would travel for miles. It took hours to get to Samuel Davies to hear him preach. And when he preached, I mean, these were serious people about their faith. You know, the sermons weren't short. These sermons were anywhere from 1 to 2 hours. Now, bear that in mind. When Patrick Henry is 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, his mom, Sarah, is asking him what Preacher Davies preached about, what it meant, what was the scripture involved, and what is God saying to us? Parents, wouldn't that be awesome to do that? Well, that's what Sarah Henry did for years as Patrick was growing up. By the time Patrick was 12 years old, he could recite Samuel Davies' entire sermon. And again, I'm talking about anywhere from an hour to 2 hour long sermon. A few years later, in 1775, when those troublemaking New Englanders, you know, up in Massachusetts trying to start a revolution, they desperately needed the largest and most influential colony of all those staid plantation owners down in Virginia to come along with them. Because if the revolution was going to have any possibility of success, Virginia had to be in on it. In 1775, it was a close call in Virginia. In 1775, there was an assembly, and for a week, the Virginians debated on it. It was pretty much split one way or the other. And then one young man who had grown up under the oratory of Samuel Davies stood up at the opportune time and gave a little speech in which he said, you know what he said, right? Give me liberty or give me death. By 5 votes, it was close, by 5 votes after that speech, Virginia voted in to move towards the revolution. You see what kind of difference a couple Christian moms who take their sons to Presbyterian churches can make? Isn't that amazing? Martha Davies, Sarah Henry. In the grand scheme of things, if Patrick Henry does not make that speech, there really is no revolution. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when you talk about the most influential women in all of American history, don't forget about Martha and Sarah. And most certainly don't forget about Samuel Davies, the great Presbyterian preacher. I don't have time. I guess I do have time. You don't have time for me to go through Samuel Davies' preaching and sermons, but they're great. I have a couple here from the 1750s, The Danger of Lukewarmness in Religion. He loved to preach on Revelation 3. Samuel Davies did. But then let me tell you something else about setting up this whole story. Samuel Davies, although he was Presbyterian, the Church of England was not doing a good job of rousing up everybody to actually fight against the French in the French and Indian War in the 1750s. Guess who the best recruiter, the governor of Virginia said this, the best recruiter for the king's army in the French and Indian War in Virginia was none other than Presbyterian pastor and great orator Samuel Davies, who said, if you actually believe in God, you will fight. When God calls you to fight, you fight, Christian, and you trust in God to bring you through it or to bring you home. That's what Samuel Davies said. And you know what? People who heard Samuel Davies and they actually started publishing his sermons and his writings in Virginia in the 1750s to get Virginians to get off their comfortable situations and to fight in the war against the French and the Indians. And of course, the French and Indian War, again, you don't have that and you don't have that victory. There's nothing, there's no discussion of the American Revolution 20 years later. Well, in 1759, he'd already been asked in 1758. In 1759, he was asked again. They begged him to come and be the fifth president of that Presbyterian-based college up in Princeton. And Samuel Davies went. He'd already raised money for the Presbyterian-based college to survive back a few years earlier. And so Samuel Davies, at the age of 35, became president of Princeton. and he served there until his death in 1759. As I mentioned last Sunday, a couple presidents later, John Witherspoon, Presbyterian signer of the Declaration of Independence. But Samuel Davies, again, if you don't have his story, you don't have John Witherspoon's story, you don't have any of the rest of this. Because are you hearing what I'm saying, parents? Are you hearing what I'm saying, Christians? God gives you, God gives us moments in which he calls us to act. And by the spirit that he places in you, Christian, it's a spirit not of fear, but a spirit of power and love and self-control. Mothers, are you hearing me? Fathers, are you hearing me? Christians, are you hearing me? May you and I be faithful in the times that God gives us, and who knows how history will be turned in God's sovereign providence. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.